Psalms 12:6 tells us that the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The question is, are those pure words still in existence, and where can we find them today? This is the topic of today's Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, located at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. You find the IUECWA Union Hall building, and you have found the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're just south of the convention center, right across the street from the Singular Wireless store, off-street parking right next door. It's an easy drive from anywhere in the Miami Valley and even beyond. We have people that come from all the way up in St. Paris, Ohio. Wow, that's about 40 miles away. People that come all the way up from Cincinnati, Ohio, some 50 miles away. It's worth the drive from no matter where you are to get to the Master Builder Grace Assembly. There you will find people who are concerned about your soul's salvation and your understanding of the Bible, able to understand all of God's Word and what He would have you to be doing today. We are Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Dividers of God's Perfectly Preserved Word, the King James Bible. And if you don't know how to rightly divide or have never heard of Mid-Acts Dispensationalism, you need to get to the website www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find information on how you can attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly via the internet live on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and again at 11, Wednesday evenings for Bible study, that at 7 p.m. You can find over 150 hours of Bible teaching, things that you can believe, things that you can learn about your Bible. It's no excuses, no holds barred Bible teaching. The website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, wonderfulgrace.org, and you can join thousands from around the world who are availing themselves of that very website, listening to the teaching and downloading material. We're going to be taking a look today at why the King James Authorized Version is, in fact, God's perfectly preserved word in the English language. That's the subject material. I'll be back with you in just a couple moments, right after this.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify His holy name.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
When you are asked questions concerning what your church believes, do you sound like Miss Teen South Carolina? It doesn't have to be that way. You can understand your Bible. You can understand what God has been doing throughout the Bible and how you fit in. You can understand how a soul is saved and what gets a soul to heaven. You can understand how prayer works and why your prayers don't all seem to get answered. You can understand why God isn't making you speak in tongues and performing miraculous signs and wonders. Why do Christians still die from cancer, heart problems and strokes, still have diabetes, catch colds and get the flu? If God really is healing all the sick, why do you still need health insurance? You can understand why there is such confusion among so many Christians as to exactly what God is doing today, and why there are contradictions in your Bible. If God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He is, then why isn't He still speaking in an audible voice that all believers can hear? You might be a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
I personally believe.
But is that the faith that really saves a soul today? You may think that you are unable to understand what God is saying in your Bible.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
You may think that God's perfectly preserved word has been lost or can only be found in extra-biblical places.
South Africa and Iraq, everywhere such as.
I'm here to tell you that God has perfectly preserved His word in the English language, and it's contained in His Bible.
Such as, and?
The King James Authorized Bible, God's perfectly preserved word, without so much as one mistake in it. And finding a church that believes that they have God's perfect word is almost impossible. Almost every denominational statement of faith skirts the issue by saying that they believe that the original manuscripts were God's inspired word. Too bad none of those originals still exist today, so theologians, preachers, and teachers are free to interpret what they think God was really saying as they use the Bible. Now that you know, there is a place that you can go where God's perfect Bible is understood, believed, and used. What excuse could you have for not attending the Master Builder Grace Assembly?
People out there in our nation don't have that.
You don't need a map to get to the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located in downtown Dayton at 313 South Jefferson Street in the IUE CWA Union Hall building, located just south of the convention center, right across the street from the Singular Wireless store. We're easy to get to from almost anywhere from all over the Miami Valley, and we are easy to find. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will find a ministry active in bringing the message of God's sufficient grace to the Miami Valley and to the world.
South Africa and Iraq.
Yes, those places and many more all over the world are learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. That via the website www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find information about attending the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Meeting times are Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. That for Bible study. You will find out how you can attend via the internet, and you will find over 150 hours of Bible believing, right dividing, mid-acts dispensational teaching that will get you well on your way to understanding what God has written in the Bible and exactly what is specifically for you today.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for us.
I agree. Your Christianity will never make a real difference in your life or in the world until you are able to intelligently minister to others, telling them how to be saved and how to understand their Bible. Quit being a couch potato for Jesus and get involved for a change. I'll see you at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Maybe you're just someone who claims that you're a Bible believer, that you believe all the miracles in the Bible, you believe every word of your Bible, and yet the question still remains, which Bible? The Which Bible Question is a large question because there's well over 200 different Bibles that you can choose from when you go to the Bible store. And deciding which one is in fact God's perfectly preserved word is of crucial importance because each and every one of those Bibles says something different. So logic would dictate that they cannot all be God's perfectly preserved word unless God, as the Indians used to say, speaketh with forked tongue. Meanwhile, as we come to the Bible believing that it is God's perfectly preserved word, the issue again is which Bible. The version issue, it continues to rage. It has gone on for years and years now, and with new versions and translations being introduced on a constant basis, entire volumes have been written in defense of and against the authorized King James Version. A knowledge of the history of the transmission of the existing manuscript evidences that we now possess is the only way to arrive at an answer to the which Bible question. That would be a good place to start. And I suppose before we go any further, I should make it known that there is no possible way that we can cover every issue concerning either the King James or any other Bible within the confines of a 1/2 hour radio program, but I would seek to bring you some information to get you on your way, taking a look at the issue of where God has, in fact, perfectly preserved His Word. Looking back then at the men who were responsible for either the preservation or the perversion, whichever it might have been, of the original manuscripts, we find that there are in fact defining points, in fact turning points, in Bible history. They present themselves, and even during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul, men were in fact corrupting the Word of God. We find in 2 Corinthians 2:17. We then fast forward and find a character named Adamesius Origen, a teacher of Greek philosophy in the Alexandrian school. He translated the Hebrew Septuagint into the Hexapla, which is a liberal translation that denies the miracles of the Bible, denies that Christ is fully God. There in Adamesius Origen's writings we find the Arian heresy, in fact the belief that Jesus Christ was a created lesser God than God the Father. That would be the belief of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. They believe that Jesus was, in fact, a created God. Here we find historical evidence, then, of the corruption of God's Word in a dividing of what turns out to be two streams of manuscripts, those of the majority text, that comprises almost 96% of all extant or existing text, and the minority text, which makes up the remaining 4%. Now, depending on what you read and who the author is, Adamesius Origen might be cited in some writings as one of the church fathers, a man of God working to preserve the original manuscripts. That would be the position of, for instance, the Roman Catholic Church, and most Protestant denominations would cite, in fact, Origen as one of the church fathers. And this willingness to accept an interpretation of the text that is tainted with Greek philosophy and rationalism is evidence of a religious system that denies the infallibility of the Bible. Don't believe me? Look at your church's statement of faith and their position on God's Bible. That, in fact, places that position within the church leaders. The unwillingness, then, to accept God at His word is also seen in forms of idol worship, Mariolatry. The Pope is a Mariolater. Worshipping Mary would like to see Mary as co-redemptress, and that goes on and on throughout Christianity. You find perversion of doctrine, even that which has survived in the line of text that is used in the Catholic Bible and the new Bible versions, becomes perverted throughout the ages. The text of Adamesius Origen, the Hexapla, was used by a man called Eusebius to translate 50 copies of the Bible for the Roman Emperor Constantine. He was, in fact, Summus Pontifex. the first Pope of Rome. Eusebius, he was a student of the supporters of Origen in his theological views. In one of Eusebius' writings on the discrepancy of the Gospels is what it's called. That calls into question the genealogy of Jesus and raises questions concerning the validity of the resurrection. My friends, without the resurrection, there is no hope of eternal life. Without the resurrection, we are all damned to hell for all time. Calling into question the resurrection, that would be heresy, and Eusebius, one of the church fathers in the line of Greek translators who brought you the minority text from which your NIV, New American Standard, Revised Standard, on, are derived from. Now, these writings that Eusebius did were particularly influential on the beliefs of a gentleman named Jerome. He lived about 331 to 420 AD, who, by his own admission, had great difficulty separating himself from the hedonistic pleasures of this world in and about Rome. In other words, he was quite a man of the flesh. Not too much walking in the spirit, but rather walking in the flesh, and this in and of itself does not impugn Jerome. I'm not going to go there, but his belief system was greatly influenced and closely resembled that of Origen and Eusebius. This same line of perverted Greek manuscripts that were denying the deity of Christ, that were denying the miracles of the Bible, were used by Jerome in translating what was called the Latin Vulgate. That's the text used to support the Douay Rheims Catholic Bible of the year 1610. Meanwhile, since the time of the Apostle Paul, there have been men faithful to the preservation of the original text. These are the men that God has used throughout the centuries to keep His Word pure and, more importantly, available. The Textus Receptus is the Greek manuscript that avoided the corruption of Origen and Eusebius, and along with the Hebrew Masoretic text of the Old Testament, were kept and used by the true church, that which was persecuted by Rome for more than 1,000 years, that during the Dark Ages. So as the world then is coming out of the Dark Ages, we see something wonderful starting to emerge. We see a glimmer of truth, a light of truth coming to the surface, and it is the Textus Receptus in which Martin Luther, that of Lutheran fame, found out that the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. That was information that was hidden for centuries by the Roman Church. For if salvation is by faith, you see, then the position and importance of the Church of Rome is diminished in its power over the lives of the people, both concerning religious and civil matters, is reduced. No longer should the people accept the selling of indulgences, the Catholic pay-for-salvation system that sparked the Protestant Reformation of Martin Luther. Isn't it interesting that Pope Ratzinger, the current Catholic Pope, also sells indulgences? I guess there is nothing new under the sun after all. Well, the information that's contained in the preserved Word of God was coming to light, and the Pauline doctrine that had been hidden was at that time being revealed and used in Bible translations such as the Tyndale, the Bishop's, and Geneva Bibles. These translations, along with all others available at the time, and the Textus Receptus, and even that same Latin Vulgate used in the Douay Rheims version, those were all compared by the translators of the 1611 authorized version, which in fact is the culmination of the recovery of the majority text and Pauline doctrine, written in the English language. As the world moved into the 1800s, things started to change. The desire to reconcile the King James Authorized Version, written from the majority text with that of Bibles written from the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus majority text. Now, when I say Vaticanus, what comes to your mind? Vatican, of course. Now you know the line of text that we're talking about when we talk about the minority text, the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. That became the issue of the day, trying to reconcile these two different lines of text, because one had salvation by faith in Christ, the other by doing works of the law. With this issue in mind there in the 1800s, now we find two men, Westcott and Hort. Those names you may recognize because they are mentioned in many of the new versions of the Bible, up front in the Bible in the foreword. Westcott and Hort text used, and both scholars, both these men, Westcott and Hort, were scholars in their own right, but both the product of German rationalistic thinking, that of the time, and a philosophy that denied the supernatural events of the Bible and question, what do you know, the deity of Christ, the same as Adamicius Origen all the way back there in the 2nd century. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world do these two men, Westcott and Hort, have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, these same two men translated the Greek New Testament using both the majority and the minority text and made an admixture, kind of like trying to blend oil and water together, but they used a method known as textual criticism. Textual criticism, basic tenet, says that older is better. Using that tenet, and that the oldest is the best, and knowing that the oldest available manuscript evidences at that time were, in fact, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus of the Catholic minority text, wherever there was deviation between the minority and the majority text, the minority reading was used. So the text of the Westcott and Hort has been the basis, then, for every new translation since 1881, and contains the doctrines found in and adhered to by the Roman Catholic Church. Meanwhile, the King James Authorized Version remains unchanged in content since it was written in modern English since 1769. To those who would be intellectually honest concerning the Bible version issue, it is an interesting thing that the same manuscripts used for the Roman Catholic Bible are now the manuscripts used for every new translation used by denominational Protestant churches. Interesting still is the recent move of the denominations and Catholics to reconcile between themselves, knowing that their beliefs are quite different, but rather trying to find common ground in belief, a move which by its nature can only lead to more compromise of doctrine, a move away from the truth of God's perfectly preserved Bible. It is also not surprising to learn that the current Pope, Benedict, has reintroduced the selling of indulgences, that for the forgiveness of sin. You see, you can go and sin and buy your way back in to heaven. My choice is not to be fooled by the slick marketing and hype that surround the new versions. All you have to do is pick up an issue of Christianity Today to find out about the millions of dollars that go into marketing new translations of the Bible, that to denominational Christianity. I choose to place my faith in the book that emerged from the text that God promised to preserve, the King James Authorized Version. I believe that the Bible has been given to us by God in order to reveal God's spiritual truth and knowledge as He would want us to have it. God's Word is revealed to us via progressive revelation. Now, that might not be a concept which you are acquainted with, but rather than being a static picture like that of a photograph, a picture that you take of just a moment in time, the Bible reveals progressively the nature and will of God, more like a movie that has a start, a middle, and an ending, and reveals the plot, reveals more and more information as it goes. And God, in His Bible, reveals updates of information as the Bible progresses. This is evident when you consider, for instance, that Adam knew nothing about a flood. Noah knew nothing about the law as given to Moses. Moses knew nothing about Israel's New Testament. You see, none of the prophets of God before the Apostle Paul knew anything concerning the revelation of the mystery as given to Paul, starting in Acts 9. There on the road to Damascus. As Scripture is studied, comparing 1 Corinthians 2:13, spiritual things with spiritual, it becomes evident and undeniable that the Bible is not a work conceived by man, and would be beyond the scope of human endeavor and understanding if not for the inspiration given the writers by the Holy Spirit, containing 66 books, written by 40 different authors over a span of 1,600 years. The content is divine in nature and in its order, and has a continuity and agreement from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, beginning to end. God, 1 Corinthians 1:9, is faithful, and Numbers 23:19, God cannot lie, and God has promised to keep His Word, the Bible, pure and perfect. Why, God has even placed more importance on the keeping of His Word than His name, Psalm 138, verse 2. While citing the Bible to prove the Bible, it would be indeed circular reasoning. Again, let me reiterate to you this, that the issue is a matter of faith. The choice is one for the individual. We can choose to believe the words and ways of man, or take God at His word and let that stand as the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. God has placed in His Bible a record of His creation of all things, seen and unseen, including the origin of the world, the heavens, spirit beings, man, and all that we know to be true and evident. He has made known to us through the Bible His attributes, His thoughts, His eternal purpose for all things, and His will for us as men. The function of the Bible is then to provide written instruction concerning doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness, that 2 Timothy 3:16, and without a Bible, given and preserved by God in a language that the everyday person can read and understand, the final authority on all these matters becomes man. By using the Bible as our standard, then, we're able to access God's wisdom rather than relying upon our own. I would encourage you to listen again next week as we take a closer look at some of the verses that identify God's perfectly preserved Word. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Again, located at 313 South Jefferson Street, we meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. that for Bible study. I would encourage you, go to the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and I thank you so very much for listening.
All sufficient grace for even me, for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify His holy name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches
wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, recognize the thousand also gives his grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus.